Hey, everybody. You've reached the Mayfair Podcast. I'm Eric.
And this is Josh. It is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. And once again, we have another person that you've dragged along to join us on the podcast.
Two in a row on birthday days, except today is your birthday.
Oh, my God.
But it's still birthday day. So I brought in my brother Richard for funsies, basically.
For my birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
This is good. He already bought himself a book and you nothing. So this has gone well.
That's my birthday gift to you, is you buying yourself a book.
Yeah, it's been an odd morning.
Everything went horribly wrong.
Josh is juggling light bulbs and installation guys and
ladders.
Well,
we thought it would be a nice thing if Richard could drop by and enjoy a movie at the Mayfair and we'd record a podcast. But then yesterday, all the lights got swapped out in the cinema, which was great, until we tried them after the people left and none of them were working right.
Yeesh.
So they came back today to replace everything. So that was my birthday.
Yeah, it's still happening. I mean, you'll probably salvage something fun out of this.
Yeah, no.
It's been a blur of family time and whatnot. He was supposed to be up in, God, November? I don't even remember anymore. But
so where are you from that is not Ottawa?
I visited from Calgary.
Oh, Calgary. You're from really far away. I thought you were just like his other family that are kind of far away.
No, it involved an airplane.
Yeah, he's driving the plane half the time, it feels like. But yeah, he made it. So it's been good. We're going to see Christine tonight with one of our nieces. So it's like salvageable. We're still seeing a movie at the Mayfair today, just not the way we thought we would.
So is there a Mayfair type theater in Calgary still?
There is the Plaza Theater, which is recently under new ownership and is doing kind of a similar thing. And the Globe.
Cool.
Ooh.
Yes.
And they're like single screen.
Single screen. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Actually, let me think. Globe might be two. Plaza is definitely one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Globe, I believe, is two. And so they'll do the Underground Film Festival there, Calgary International Film Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. It's so nice because sadly, every small town. Oh, sorry. You might hear my dog just yawn.
That's all right. It's your birthday.
It's my birthday. Sadly, every small town used to have a Mayfair-type theater, a Globe-type theater. Little ones, little one-horse towns. And now even your Ottawas, Montreals, Halifax, Vancouver, Calgary, whatever, some of those cities, like Halifax doesn't have one. Montreal's running out of these type of cinemas. So it's nice that, I forgot that Calgary has the Underground Film Fest and other cool things like that.
And we're going to Montreal tomorrow, so not to go to a Mayfair-type place. But I mean, with him, he's kind of a wanderer, you know? Like, whenever we go places, like, he just goes.
That's good.
And
it's
good unless you didn't notice, you know? Like, if you stop to tie your shoe or, you know, you get a text or whatever. Well, he just goes. Like, and then you're like, oh, shit, he's a block ahead. And so you got to catch up. I mean, worse so when we had bikes there because I got the one that wasn't working very well. And so getting up the hill was almost impossible as it was. And then you're like, well, he's miles ahead, so it's too late.
So we know Eric is a horror movie nerd. Are you similar?
No, not so much. I will go out of my way to take pictures of dilapidated old movie theaters
that I see
in my travels and usually send them his way.
Yeah.
He's more on the movie side.
That's the good news, Matt. We'll get that every once in a while. Somebody will send us an article like 100-year-old cinema in Baltimore closes and some sad photos. And I'm like, well, that's nice, but that's sad.
It's never the happy ones.
Yeah.
Baltimore's got enough going on right now, too. We
get that, too, over like whenever there's danger, when there's COVID, when we have some trouble with the landlord, that's when media comes in and you're like, do you want to just talk about a nice thing? Like we're showing some cool movies or
they do. I imagine people will get a hold of you though if like someone refurbishes an old theater or something like that as well.
Yeah. Or someone will have, I think it's so funny. Just at the library, they have a sign up saying, please don't just dump boxes of books on our front porch.
Right.
And it's so funny because my wife Gwen just had a book to return. I was walking by and they had somebody put three big IKEA bags of books on their front porch, right under the sign. And we're kind of the same where, although we're a nice big cinema, people will be like, do you want another projector? It's broken.
Or a box of VHS. They're like, that'll be good for you, right? You're a theater.
I don't know what we would do with that, you know? So I'm sure it's a similar of that kind of thing of they want to give us stuff. We don't need that stuff.
It's like your parents remembering the thing you liked when you were like 12 and then they
A million percent. Yeah.
My friend was like that. He bought a place, quote unquote, his parents helped him buy a place across the street from their place, which, you know, a lot of people might think that's a little too close. But, you know, I think he was just like, it's my own place. Cool. But I guess when he was a kid, he really liked moose or whatever, you know, all that. And so, like, his parents just never stopped. Well, I think it was more so his mom, but they never stopped giving him stuff. And so when I went to live with him for a couple of months, rented a room, Everything was moose. The lampshades, like everything that he had up on the walls, all that. It was just overwhelming. And he just basically was like, oh yeah, I don't want to hurt my mom's feelings. So like, yeah. It was just everything that he has there.
My poor Uncle Paul, who as we speak is living his best retired life and he's partying in Cuba.
Ooh.
And he's just sending back pictures and it's like, it's a movie. It's like, I'm a retired guy partying with a bunch of 20-year-olds in a cave.
With cigars, probably.
But that happened to him with cows, where he was 25 or something and was like, oh, I got this cool, funny cow print or a funny cow stuffed animal. And then every birthday and Christmas was cows. And I think a decade in, he was like, okay, I got enough cows.
Yeah, that's I remember Rich having to do the uncomfortable telling mom and dad, you know, like maybe he wants to buy his own clothes going forward the teenager year. Because it was like, it's fine, you know, but you get the one specifically I remember, like, I'll never forget this, but you talking about him being like, look, you know, sometimes I don't want to wear a pants that just says skateboard along one leg. And we straight up had a pair of pants that said the word skateboard. None of us skateboarded. We never, ever.
That was my question.
No.
We weren't. Was Rich an excellent skateboarder?
No, none of us could do that. We thought skateboarding was cool, but like, I don't know. It might have been a hand-me-down. And I remember that was like the line in the sand where I'm sure you probably felt kind of semi-bad not wanting to hurt mom's feelings or whatever. But, you know, he's 4 years older than me, so I was still fine with the Looney Tunes shirts, but he had had enough. Yeah.
He wasn't the baby of the family.
Yeah. You see, you look devastated now just remembering that memory.
He's just thinking about the skateboard pants.
Yeah, still. No, but now it's just going through stuff at their house. The boxes and boxes of things. Yeah.
I think about that just even that we're in this somewhat digital age now, and my friends with kids, they have the potential to live in a much more Spartan surroundings because they could still listen to music and watch movies and read comic books and read magazines, but it's all on tablets, right? The bookshelf filled with DVDs and books is somewhat going, even for me, who's a big collector, just having stuff like the Marvel and DC Comics apps, I am buying in a year, hundreds of less comic books than I used to, for real. Because I used to at least buy a few Batmans every week and a few Spider-Mans and whatever. Mm. So I think about that, how our future, an 80-year-old in 100 years, is going to have much less stuff, I think.
Yeah, now I'm getting more comics than you are, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Nobody's prepared for that. But it's good, though. I mean, you at least, like, it adds up quick. And I mean, yeah, they are cool, but, you know, a lot heavier than I remember. It's not that I'm getting older. It's just
paper is so heavy.
Yeah, paper has gotten heavier. So, but Rich is, he managed to find himself a book at Black Squirrel.
Black Squirrel, good.
Just one. Usually the problem is, back in the day when he would visit, it would be like, he'd be coming back with, God, 20 records or something. Like, I don't even know. Like, we would go places. We'd hit up multiple record shops.
Yeah.
And then he'd get to be leaving and be like, what the hell am I going to do with all of this? Like, so.
Leads to a bit of an identity crisis, too, when if you're like, are the places you used to go, like comic book shops and record stores and stuff like that, if you're not buying that stuff, then it's like, how do you spend your free time? Where do you go?
And then they disappear because you weren't buying them and you're like, oh shit, that sucks.
I always thought that was, it's nice about the Mayfair, but it's nice about comic shops and stuff. You'll see it is where the geeks of any subgenre will gather, and you'll see them just hanging out and chatting with the clerk. And I think that's what will save. It's kind of like, you know, Black Squirrel Books still exists in Ottawa, but there's no, I don't think there's any Chapters left, right?
There's Indigo, which is sort of Chapters. So
there's that. They don't have as much of an overhead. They don't have as many employees, but it's still that. It's funny how malls killed the ma-and-pa stores. The internet killed malls. And now the ma-and-pa stores are coming back. Just look in our neighborhood how it's like us and Black Squirrel and Happy Goat Coffee and House of Targ, mm-hmm. where you could do all that stuff at home. You could play video games at home or read on a tablet, but we still exist because of that too. Like, you could watch a movie at home, but there's something about that experience. So
yeah, the concept of the third space, right? Like the not work, not home, but another gathering place.
Yeah, I saw a documentary a while back, and it was about how we were starting to live the triangle life, where a person works at the office and eats at the food court. And then goes to the mall, and that mall has a Walmart, a grocery store, a movie theater. And then you go home, and you've got all your entertainment and delivery. And so many people are trapped in that life, where it used to be at least I'm going to other places to get my various stuff.
I can draw on a little bit of Calgary film history for this.
Oh, good.
Way Downtown by Gary Burns.
Yeah.
I think it's his name. And then, the bet on who can stay inside the longest.
Oh, right, yeah. Don McKellar's in that.
Yeah, without going insane.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I mean, it is nice. Well, and to your point, when last week after we were on with Brad, I took him to the comic shop, which was like, a little bit of a selfish stop, I guess. But at the same time, I was like, oh, he might get a kick out of this or whatever. And he actually did pick up a couple of comics for the first time in, you know, I don't know, 30 years or whatever. But while we were there, I was just kind of rooting around. And then a guy like went up to him, just a random guy. But he had big mall cop energy.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, you looking at comics, eh? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's just standing like right close. And it was so weird. I was 6 feet away just watching this, waiting for the guy to slug him or something.
He was trying to just be nice, but didn't have social
That's the thing. Cue. Like, I believe he was possibly autistic. He was genuinely just like saw a guy maybe like that he thought was interesting or whatever. And he just started to talk. And he was like, oh, yeah, the X-Men movies in the 2000s was the big thing that started comic book movies, you know, and like just random sort of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, comic books started in the 60s. And he was like, Brad's like, well, I mean, I think Superman was created in the 30s. And he's like, oh, yeah, Superman. I just met Stan Lee. And he's like, yeah, I guess. And it was like pleasant enough, but it really had a vibe of where is this going? You don't want to say this is weird, but it was out of the ordinary, you know, like you're not used to that. And it really seemed like accused of him stealing or something like that. And it wasn't like they just kind of had this awkward conversation. And I wanted to go to the back of the store, but I didn't want to leave him alone with whatever's going on. And so eventually the guy left and it was whatever. But I was just like, he didn't want to be there. Take Brad here on his birthday. And then he's the only one who's isolated by this random guy.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that. And I was saying to Brad, the reason I like going to the comic shop is like the ambiance of the conversation and the stuff you're going to hear. You hear stuff that just sounds like people are lunatics if you heard it anywhere else. But there you're just like, oh, yeah, my battle axe and I killed all these people and all that stuff. And it's half the time I don't know what they're talking about, but I'm kind of like, I love when people are into stuff because I'm into dumb stuff too. And it's nice to hear.
So wait, I want to go back because I like that movie, Way Downtown. So is that still, so you could live in an apartment building and without going outside, get down to the subway.
Yeah. Well, so it's called the Plus 15. So it's like a second floor sort of. So
okay.
So
right,
they're generally kind of like over, so they go over the roads downtown, that sort of thing. And so theoretically, if you were living in a condo, working in one of the other buildings,
you could
make it work. Wouldn't necessarily be for me, I would say.
No, I mean, especially you who likes to not only walk but be outside places.
Nice when it's minus 30 outside, but
very true.
Well, that is true. Like, I remember I went to school in Vancouver and somebody was a friend of mine was going to UBC, which if you look at it on a map, it's its own world. It's just as far off as you can go, and so kids go in there, just don't leave, they just get stuck there. And evidently there was a scurvy epidemic going around UBC. And I remember being like...
Well, you were going there?
I was going to film school in downtown Vancouver.
Okay, so away from the scurvy.
Away from the scurvy.
Gotcha.
But a friend of a friend was sick. And then they just, as if they said the words like, oh yeah, they got the flu. They went, yeah, they got scurvy. And I remember being like, there's still a scurvy? And it's because...
scurvy?
They weren't going outside. There was all kinds of underground. They were probably eating Kraft dinner 3 times a day, you know, but that still exists of you can forget to go outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, geez, eat an orange once a week or something, but...
Yeah, and I went to Carleton, and like, so they had the tunnels there.
Oh, those scary. Yeah.
So like, for the first year, like, I did go outside at times, but for a lot of it, I mean, the winter mostly, but you just kind of, like, they're cool. They're just underground, cool tunnels that you expect there to be a giant spider down there or something, or I do, anyways. That was the taste I got of that. You know, when you're in a new city and you don't know how buses fully work, I knew the 7, you know, that was about it. You know, if the 6 and the 7, you know, the buses that actually go through Carleton, I'm like, okay, if I can get to a place on one of those buses, I can go. But anything else than that, I'm like 14 and O-Train. I'm like, oh, I can't deal with all this.
Yeah. You know?
Like, so I remember going to like Record Runner at that time because I'm like, okay, the 7 will get there and get back. And that feels like a crazy adventure from growing up in the country with your, you know, one movie theater and whatever else we had. The Strand, which is still open. We talked about The Strand a couple of times on here.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, it changed hands and, you know, they re-upped some of the seating, I think, but... Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been back to Parry Sound since I guess like 2002 max. When did you go back?
Well, I was just thinking I have another uplifting independent theater story.
All right.
That I can pass along from Alberta.
Perfect.
So I spent a lot of time in the Crow's Nest Pass, which is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, a little bit south. And one theater called the Orpheum. It looks beautiful, but the roof is not. A very fully operational roof.
Right.
So they were in the process of selling it, and then that happened and shut the sale, and it's been just sitting there empty, sadly. So that's the the flip side of it, but they are doing a Revive the Roxy fundraiser for the Roxy Theater, which is in the neighboring town of Coleman, Alberta.
Cool.
And so they're currently in the process of renovating that. And then the plan is that they'll have it for movies and also like theater, live events, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
So that's one I can give you as a...
So the Roxy. Should look into that.
Revivetheroxy.ca, yeah. I believe, is
I need to see if I can get a t-shirt. Yeah.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know if it's just like... There's obviously more than one place called the Roxy in the world. So I think I'm probably thinking of that.
Got a great old sign. And well, the Orpheum sign's pretty great too. But the Roxy, the plan is at least that it'll be open pretty soon.
Dang.
Cool. Yeah, I like that because it's like... That is what, like, you know, the internet and social media, and that is the worst thing we've ever invented. But at its best, it does help... For this kind of fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
Where without any, like, service fee or whatever, a whole bunch of people can donate $2, $5.
Totally.
And that helps. And then they'll do stuff, you know, like do a Kickstarter, have t-shirts, have whatever. And we went through that, especially during COVID. But it is nice that some out-of-town movie fans could still be like, oh, I used to live there. I just like movies. I'll donate $2.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps.
And then there's the opposite end of that when we didn't host the Red Pill documentary and then we got all the one-star reviews on Google from people in the States who've never been to the Mayfair Theater but are very passionate about what they're passionate about.
Suspicious.
Yeah, if only we'd gotten a dollar from each of them, we would have been fine.
I like try to look at the nice side of the internet.
It's true, it's true. Well, and sort of to Rich's point about half movie, half art plays, whatever, you know, The Strand was, or still is, I guess, like a 2-screen plays, but they only got a digital projector for one of the 2 screens. So the other one has just been dormant for years, I guess, which is crazy to me.
Do they still have their film projector?
I believe so, yeah. So they just, so in theory, they could show 35mm, but just wouldn't have any. And yeah. I don't know if people would be into that in Paris, I don't know. But I always found it crazy that they weren't using that more for, you know, plays or live shows or literally anything at all. Like, it's sitting dormant. I get that it's, you know, you're not going to drop 30,000 times two to get multiple projectors, but that always felt like a weird thing to me. Like, at that point, you're just, but I don't know. There's only so much money to work on these things.
Was there a drive-in in Perry Sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any memory of...
No, eh?
Yeah. The predates... I remember where it was because it would just be referred to as like the old drive-in. It's just like an open field.
It seems like somewhere that would have had a drive-in.
Yeah.
Have you guys done live bands doing the soundtrack?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing? We just did, actually. Yeah, there was the International Film Fest of Ottawa, and we hosted a couple of their screenings, and one super cool. I came to see it. It was so cool, and some of it was so weird to watch. It was called... Cinema's First Nasty Women. And it was short films, the kind that would be on before, like serials before the movie, from 1903 to 1918. And it was ranging from romantic comedy to full-on slapstick to Western and action and everything. But some of it was so funny because special effects at the time, right? Mm. So it almost felt like you were watching a Kids in the Hall sketch because there was a part where somebody was fighting and then it cut... And it was a floppy mannequin that they threw over their shoulder and like off the balcony. So at the time, I wonder if people were just like, ooh, that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But the representation of women, like they were just like tough and shooting people. And one woman was hit on by her teacher or something and she locked him in the closet. So real like, kind of independence. So it was a bunch of shorts and we had a piano player and a drummer. And man, it was so cool. Watching in here was like time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the movies we screened are older than us because we didn't open until 1932.
Yeah.
So that was the case of, we had the piano. Opposite end of the scale, we had the band Goblin in here.
Oh, cool.
So that's a little more complicated because they got to go in and like Suspiria. Pull out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pull out the score.
Yeah.
Leave in the dialogue track on Suspiria.
Yeah.
And they were a full band, so they were just like packed in here.
Right. And plus that was canceled. A guy got COVID, I think, like one of the band members.
So a year ago.
They pushed it a year and then came back. It's a big deal. Like Goblin is like... a big deal to horror soundtrack fans, which sounds like a small number of people. But the point is like they've done like Dawn of the Dead and like a lot of other ones you haven't heard of that are classics, you know. So I don't know how many original members there are now.
I think
like,
just the one.
Just the one guy. But he's like the main guy, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was awesome. I would say we do at least 4 a year, maybe.
Something like that, Silent films are easier because they're silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I've seen just at Christmas time, went to see Home Alone at the NAC. And in that case, it's that complication. You got to go back and like pull out the music tracker or it'll sound weird. But yeah, that's super fun to have that. What a nice rarity of having live music with your film, which doesn't happen every day.
No. I remember I was thinking about in the terms of the Plaza in Calgary. They did Underworld from 1923.
Oh, wow.
Like this like gangster film noir kind of thing. And then they had a full band. I was going back a ways. And then this year at the International Film Fest, Chad Van Galen did Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Dang.
It's like a one-man wrecking crew of a soundtrack, which is very cool, which I did not make it to, but it was like sold out four nights.
Jeez.
Wow, four nights. That is crazy. Yeah, we love doing it. We have a couple bands that are kind of in rotation that just, I think we have another one come up in the summer, like in May or something like that. But yeah, it's definitely a fun. And again, that's a good example of leaving the house. You kind of got to use the cliche. And I think same with comic stores, same with record stores. You can't just sit back. You've got to kind of, like a comic store, I think will thrive if we live in a world in 5 years, 20 years where comics don't exist on paper. There will still be collectors of old stuff or Dungeons and Dragons, some excuse to get people in the store.
Yeah, like a hub. You're like a hub of something.
Yeah, right? I know like the comic shoppy here, they have HeroClix Night with the little HeroClix figures that they play games with. And I think they do Dungeons and Dragons Night and stuff like that. So some excuse to have people come in and buy some other stuff.
I've also, like, kids don't drink as much. So bars now have to come up with reasons to get people in there, too, that is more than just, like, getting wasted on a Tuesday.
They have to nerd it up. They have to have trivia nights.
We got a board game bar, too, you know? So it's like...
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because I always equate, despite our differences, sports fans and pop culture nerds are very similar, despite one stereotype maybe beating up the other one a bit more in school. But if someone goes to a Comic-Con and dresses as Spider-Man... That's like cosplay and that's their fantasy, it's a dream. But then you see like a hockey fan and they're wearing not only a jersey, but a jersey with somebody else's name on it.
Right.
And they might play at a beer league and they collect cards and a nerd collects Pokemon cards and a hockey fan collects hockey cards. So there's that similarity of you could stay at home and watch hockey, but there's something about either going to a live game or just going to a bar with your friends. And so that's the same that will hopefully keep people going to movies, going to concerts, going out, because there is that kind of sloth now. You could just stay home, but if you're going to see Dune on the big screen or silent film or Saturday morning cartoons here at the Mayfair, that's different than just sitting at home and doing that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, it's nice that we have the option of like there's every week there's something you're not going to be able to see anywhere else. So.
Yeah. That's what I joke about. Somebody walked in, it was so nice. Somebody walked in and was like, I'm new to the neighborhood. Is this like a old fashioned movie theater? And I got to give her the pitch of like, I always take pride that any given week we are showing a weird horror movie, an Oscar-nominated film, a documentary, a little bit of everything.
What's your breakdown usually of old to new?
Well, we'll go over this week so you'll get an idea, but almost every week we have an Ottawa premiere of some independent film, a foreign film. We're second run, so for the more mainstream stuff, quicker than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I always remember I looked at an old schedule, and so Batman 89 came out in June, and the Mayfair got it in February. So it took that long for it to roll around.
Right.
Whereas now we're averaging either very fast or like 3 months or so. So every week it's like a couple new movies, a couple old movies. Pretty balanced pretty much. And then sometimes it might be four brand new movies if we just happen to get a couple of foreign films or independent films. But I will to this day hear people walk by and go, oh yeah, they just play old movies there. It's really cool. And I want to lean out and be like, no, we have new stuff too.
Yeah, and plus like the old stuff that we're playing is because it's brand new restorations. So it's like, yes, it's old, but this is the first chance you could have seen it like this.
Lee has that joke where he's like, with digital restoration, it's like these movies are brand new.
Yeah.
Because so many people have never seen them. Even there's movies I haven't seen, and so it's like seeing it for the first time. So it's almost that vinyl versus digital argument. But in our case, the silver lining is, I mean, people love film and it's fun to have a film and a projector and all that stuff. But the digital revolution has just allowed us to get not just classics, but weird little horror films that only existed on VHS are now getting in front of eyeballs, which has never happened before, which is a lot of fun. That's allowing us to show more stuff. And once upon a time, if it was on film, they'd be like, oh, we only have 3 film prints. But now that doesn't exist. It's like, yep, it's just digital. Yeah, here you go. Yeah. So that opens up the library a lot more for that kind of thing.
Yeah, not paying for shipping of reels from LA to here and back as well.
Yeah, because it used to be like, oh, we could get this film, but it's coming from a UK distributor, so they have to send 4 film reels across the ocean. But nowadays it's like, oh, nope, we'll... It's, torrenting has a dirty feeling around it with piracy, but what torrenting was built for is this kind of stuff, where now, more and more, we're having the film distributor send us the movie and we download it, and right. It's humongous, and we have a code, and we type it in to unlock it. All kinds of businesses are doing that now, where that... That's kind of what this was made for, of instead of stealing a movie, is just getting a movie to a indie cinema faster. And all, I'm pretty sure all the multiplexes, it's all the same. They're not even getting like a hard drive in the mail now. It's all purely emailed to you.
Yeah. And you were saying the Cineplex is, I think they're running the stuff like out of Toronto. So like the one in Ottawa, like you, there's nothing you do. If the movie's messed up, they're not even playing it at Ottawa. You have to call Toronto and be like, yo, it's messed up. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Which is bonkers to me. Like there's all the training you can get. There's nothing you can do in a situation like that.
Or at least here, although we're automated, if something goes wrong, usually it's an easy fix and you run upstairs and you're like, oh, human error, something happened, I'll hit the mute button or I'll hit the lights to go down.
Right.
Whereas I've heard horror stories of, oh, the movie's in the wrong aspect ratio or the sound's on mute and they gotta like get on a call to Toronto and somebody's there and being like, oh, your theater number 137.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
it's like an old timey call, like the call center type person.
Which is so crazy. So crazy. Yeah, so let us quickly mention, we're running a bit short today just because of today. Oh, there's still guys changing lights as we speak.
Yeah, nobody's going to know how insane this day was.
Yeah, but we will quickly mention the movies we have screening the upcoming week of Friday, March 29th. So speaking of new movie to old movie ratio, we have 3 new films this week. 2 second run movies, both, it finishes up our Oscars. Now we have screened all 10 Oscar nominated best pictures. So upcoming this week is American Fiction and Poor Things.
Nice.
American Fiction won for best adapted screenplay. And then Poor Things was nominated for, I think, a ton.
Yeah.
And then won for best actress for Emma Stone. And I think it was production design, costume design.
Yeah.
2 very different films that I'm looking forward to see.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be amazing and yeah, very, very different for sure. And Poor Things, it's like, it's a Yorgos Lanthimos, I can't remember his last name. It's a lengthy last name.
Yeah.
But his stuff is very particular, you know, like I've seen 1 or 2 of his movies and it's like one of those, I understand why there's so much acclaim, but I also understand why someone watching that would just be completely thrown off. Like it's, they're kind of weird. I don't know how else to say it. Kind of wacky.
Yeah, then this is essentially, I always try to avoid spoilers and reviews and stuff, but it's like, it's a Frankenstein-esque kind of story.
Yeah.
That I hear is laugh out loud, funny, and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, and we love Emma Stone and other guy. I was going to say Mark Lanegan, that's not right.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, Ruffalo, right. We like Mark Lanegan too, RIP.
So then our Ottawa premiere this week is a new film called Stop Motion.
Right.
And it's a horror movie with a lot of cool little stop motion creepy puppets in it. Is it like a highbrow puppet master?
I guess kind of. Like,
I think so.
Is it not about someone working on stop motion? Okay, so it's like kind of movie within a movie almost.
Yeah, so I think a bit more, like I said, a bit more highbrow, but that kind of creepy descent into madness with really scary little puppets.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that movie, I think it was like Censor, where the person was like editing horror movies and then started to sort of become in the horror movie or things were wacky like that. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe they're working on sound. I don't know. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, no, now they're going crazy. Oh.
And then we wrap up our John Carpenter Film Fest with They Live.
Oh, this is hurtful because Rich can't come to this and he has been a huge fan, which I never knew until like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so sad.
Classic.
Yeah.
So good.
I will be going. It's literally playing the day he leaves.
Well,
like, the same day he leaves. So we almost pulled that off. But I mean,
so close.
Christine is a very similar film.
Yes, yeah, so you've seen that tonight.
Yeah.
Problem with John Carpenter is he made too many good movies.
Too many.
I have had the chance to see it on the big screen.
Oh, good.
They did it as a, I believe it was associated with the radio station fundraiser.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For the campus radio. And so we all got to enjoy the 5-minute fight scene in all its glory.
Do you remember how old you were when you saw it?
Well, yeah, this was only maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, wow. But yeah, did you see it when you were younger,
no,
too?
No, okay. The first time I saw it, actually, I believe my friend Paul Everest was probably the guy that turned us onto it in university.
Okay,
so I remember seeing it. I was like an adult by the time I'd seen it, and he's like, this is crazy that you've never seen this before.
I saw it at that, like, growing up in the wild west of the neighborhood video store age.
Right.
I saw this, not that it's like a crazy R-rated thing, but I saw it probably when I was like, you know, 10. I don't know. But it's that fun kind of, you know, gateway where it's not too scary.
Yeah.
And it's just got that, like, it was supposed to be Kurt Russell, right? But he was busy doing something else.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because it seems like it should
make sense.
Nothing against Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No.
Nothing against Rowdy Roddy Piper. But
he's available.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
But yeah, such a great, and if you're overthinking the political nature of it, sadly still a relevant film.
A shockingly prescient.
Yeah.
I had read that Shepard Fairey made the Obey, the dude, like the Andre the Giant, the guy is iconic for, was like, he got the idea from that.
From the They Live brainwashing.
And another tie-in I can think of is that B.A. Johnson, Canadian legend B.A. Johnson,
yeah.
playing House of Targ on Friday. My wife has a lot of his shirts, and the last one I bought for a spoof on when he's grabbing the guy and throwing the glasses on him.
Oh, yeah.
Except it's B.A. and it's Alf that is that is putting the glasses on him to be like, to show him what the world has become.
B.A. Johnson's the coolest.
And then I think the aliens look like the Zeddy from like Club Zed.
Oh,
the Zellers, the Zellers Bear.
Another great time.
Is actually
like eight deep inside jokes. The one I got is him being carried like in Return of the Jedi by the Ewoks.
Right.
So it's him in like 3PO's throne and all the Ewoks, and I think they probably have like beer and partying and stuff. So,
oh my god. Yeah. Are you going to the B.A. Johnson show too?
I might. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the 29th, I believe. Pretty sure that's right. So it's like your last night here.
Cool. That's a good farewell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we might run across the street, grab some corn that night. Who knows?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, no, that's going
to
be fun.
And then the last thing to mention this week is Saturday Night Cinema, our free for members only secret midnight movie presentation, or secret 11:45 p.m. movie presentation.
Close enough.
I should always say late, because I say midnight, and that's
I always call it the midnight movie, just like it's a thing. I just call
close
it
enough.
That. You know, I'm like, I know it's not a midnight, but no, and this is playing after They Live, not to grind it in a little bit more, but yeah, it's going to be quite a double bill. And I believe I am presenting it, although there is some, Lee asked a couple of weeks ago, and then was like, yeah, I'm going to the Toronto Comic Con or whatever, you know, so I won't be there. But then the next week he was at the Comic Con, and I was like, did he guess the wrong week?
Oh,
and
no.
Then both of us show up, you know, thinking we're the date for the prom. But anyways, we'll see how that goes. I'll be here for They Live anyways, in Richard's spirit, you know.
Yeah, rubbing it in.
Yeah, you know. So I've got a movie picked. Maybe you'll see it, maybe you won't. Like, we'll find out.
Is that the secret element of it? Because you give away when it is. It's not that secret.
No. It's just the movie
itself. Kind of the gimmick is, so it's two Saturdays a month. It's like a midnight type movie. It's always some weird old grindhouse kind of thing.
Right.
But it's a surprise and it's free for members.
Right.
And it's always something that's like out of distribution or that we're screening on Blu-ray but doesn't have theatrical. So that's our kind of red tape, is that it's a private function. We're not advertising it.
Right.
And so that's why we can get away with showing this weird old movie.
Yeah.
Pants optional.
Well, yeah, we don't know about that. Although, yeah, like
anything goes midnight.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to talk about what it is before or after. And so there has been recently there's been some people posting on social media after because they loved it, but they're posting what it was. And then Josh
told them not to talk about it afterwards.
Correct. Like we can't, because if a studio found out we played something like that aren't allowed to play.
If you're just talking like with your friends, of course.
No.
Yeah. So it's fine to talk to your friends, but then now people mean well, but they'll tag us, tag Mayfair, take a picture of the screen and be like, had a great time.
Watching
like,
blank.
Yeah. And you're like, guys, no. Like,
yeah.
So, and it's supposed to be a fun little secret thing. It is a one in a million chance we get in trouble, but there's that chance. So as long as we keep it all, and it's kind of like we do rentals. And you can come in and watch any movie you want,
right.
But you can't advertise it.
Right.
So that's the cinema fun. So
whatever it is, you'll see it and then not tell anyone about it.
Don't tell anyone.
Ideally.
Okay, so we're going to wrap things up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
My pleasure.
And you can go to mayfairtheater.ca to find out about upcoming movies and go to all those evil social medias to find out new films we have coming up in the near future. And we'll be back next week with hopefully a less chaotic recording of the podcast, which through editing magic, you're never going to know we were interrupted a bunch of times.
No, it'll be good. And the dog noises were good, too.
So dog noises are good.
Leave some of those
dogs
in there. Yeah.
Okay, thanks everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Now we'll see if we can survive Montreal and all the hilarious stories I'll have from that.
I believe in you.
Yeah, life's fun.
From John Carpenter, master of terror and suspense. They control everything.
You still don't get it, do you, boys? There ain't no countries anymore. No more good guys. They're running the whole show.
They're here.
Don't interfere. You can't win.
They're real.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
and I'm all out of bubblegum.
John Carpenter's They Live.